But I just wanted to look at verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Our brother Joey was going to be speaking this Sunday, and his grandma's not doing too well, so he had to go up north. But just keep him in your prayers and his family in your prayers. She's doing okay, but yeah, we'll just be keeping them in prayer. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. Kind of in light of what we've been talking about in the testimonies that have been shared about what God's doing in the world. I love hearing about that. Uganda, my wife, she's awesome. but just seeing what God's doing in the nations and our brother just sharing about China and how God's calling him to go to seminary. It's amazing because it's like we're a part of that, you know? Like what these people are a part of, it's like we share in that. And I think, I just want to remind us of this, of our calling. And I want to read verses 8 through 10 and kind of talk about the gospel and good works. What's the relationship between the gospel and good works? Verse 8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Father, we come before your holy word right now. And we are humbled, God, that you would give us this, Lord, that you would give us this guidance and direction, and you would teach us your ways, God. It tells us that you love us, Lord, that you don't just leave us to our own devices, but that you care for us. Thank you for what you're doing in our body, God. Thank you for the work that you're stirring up, Lord, in people here. And I pray, God, that you would allow us to walk in the works that you prepared beforehand for us to walk in, Lord. In this new year, Father, as we start approaching the new year, I pray that you would help us to be strong in your grace, Lord, to be led into the things that you have for us this next year, that we would start to think about what is it that God's calling us to? What is it that God wants me to be involved in? And what does he not want me to be involved in? I pray that you would make that clear for us, Lord. I pray you give us hearts to receive that truth, Lord, ears to hear. And I pray that you would be our good shepherd, Lord. Lead us and guide us for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. This is one of very popular passage. It's probably some of your favorite passages. I love it just because it's just the gospel, right? By grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. At the end of the day, this is what we're about. This is why we do what we do. The gospel, this message that Jesus Christ came to our world as we're looking at Christmas. We're recognizing where the Son of God broke into human history and said, "Hey, I'm going to be born of a virgin. I'm going to come to your broken world. I'm going to enter the darkness. I'm going to live a perfect life. I'm going to die the death that you deserved. I'm going to experience separation from the Father. I'm going to experience the wrath of God that we deserve. I'm going to raise again from the dead. I'm going to ascend back into heaven, and I'm going to come back one day." This gospel, this is something that Paul continually repeats over and over throughout the Bible. He's always going back to it. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, he's always saying, "Hey, don't forget about the gospel. Don't forget about what Jesus has done for you." Because when we forget, which we often do, it's easy for us to start getting complacent. Our lives become boring, to be honest. We live for lesser things, right? We get excited about things that really don't matter. But when we allow the gospel to be the true treasure that it is, we're going to find ourselves walking in the things that God has. And so I want to make this clear. We are saved solely by the grace of God alone, apart from works. There's nothing that you and I can do in light of our good works to add to the gospel, right? You guys know that. But that does not mean that good works are disconnected from the gospel. We've been saved by grace alone. But notice what it says in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by God's grace, but we've been saved for God's work. For good works. I'm in trouble speaking. We've been saved for good works. Notice that God prepares for us the good works, but we're called to walk in the good works that he's prepared for us. If grace is like the root of our salvation, good works are the fruit of it. Okay, so these things should be flowing from our lives. And this is really what I want us to focus on just in our time together, as we kind of turn the corner and enter into the new year, asking ourselves, what are the good works that God has prepared for us to walk in? Because some of us are in two different places with this. Some of us are lazy and we're not doing anything. We got to get it going a little bit. But some of us are overcommitted and we're doing too much. And when you hear me talking about, you know, walking the good works, you're like, dude, I'm so burned out. Like, I just need a break, you know? And I think there's a balance. There's a tension. It's like, we want to do the good works that God has prepared for us. We don't want to be operating from a place of need. We want to operate from a place of, what is God calling me to? If you're not able to say no to people, you're going to burn yourself out. If you're like, I just always need to be doing something, you're going to burn out. And we want to model what Jesus says. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. How do you know what the Father's doing? We have to really get alone with God. We have to pray. We have to seek the Lord. We have to allow him to lead us into the works that he has for us. But I love this language of how he explains it here. He says, hey, you are God's workmanship. Before he talks about, you know, walking in the works that God's prepared for us, he says, no, you are God's workmanship. You are God's work of art, or like poem. This is an amazing thing. Before we start trying to do stuff for God, God's like, hey, I want to do work in you. I want to work in your life. I want to purify you. And this relationship with good works in the gospel, it's the fruit of it. Right? Understanding that we are God's work, that like, and I'll tell my wife this sometimes, I said, I know I'm a real piece of work when, you know, I'm kind of being difficult or something, and it's like, but it's true, it's like, we can be that, right? We can be difficult, and knowing that, but we're a work in the master's hands, and the master is chiseling us, he's shaping us, and sometimes that's going to be painful. It's not going to feel good. But we are in his hands, and he is shaping us to be the people that he's calling us to be. Know that first and foremost, we are his work. He's committed to seeing Christ formed in us. He wants to see the image of Christ formed in us, and he does that through trials. He does that through difficult things. He does that through being in community. What's your response when someone has a criticism for you? When someone says, hey, you know what? This is like a problem we got to address, and I see this in your life, and I love you. I care about you. I know our automatic response is usually defensiveness. No, you're wrong. Look at all your stuff. You know, it's like, and I think if we were open, we would really say, okay, God, like, I want you to chisel me. And you use people to do that too. The Bible says, let the righteous strike me, and it shall be a kindness. Very far from how we view people criticizing us, helping us grow, But the righteous say, you know what? Let the righteous strike me. Because when the righteous strike me, it's always a kindness. It's actually a gift from God when the righteous strike me. We are God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are certain works that God has gone ahead of us, and he's already created, he's already prepared them for us to walk in. I think this is why it's important that we get alone with God. Lord, what is it that you have for my life? What is it that you're doing? And you might not have the big picture. And sometimes it's hard to know. But I think if we're faithful with where God calls us, sometimes we want that. What's the big picture? Like, what are you calling me to in the future, in 10 years? And what God's wanting us to do is to be faithful with where he's placed us. Because as our brother said, as he was serving, God opened this thing up to him, right? It was in the context of serving. And some of us, we don't know our gifts. We're like, I don't know what God has for me. But that doesn't mean we should just sit back passively. We want to engage where God has us. We want to say, I want to serve the Lord faithfully where I'm at. And that's how it's worked in my life. Sometimes I'm serving the Lord. Maybe it's youth or worship. And whatever it is, it might seem like, man, there's nothing happening. These kids aren't responding. Or what's going on here? And the Lord is doing something in me. He's working in me. He's like, are you going to be faithful in obscurity when no one's watching you? Or do you just want to be up there? And I think God's calling us saying, hey, where's your heart at? Are you willing to do the lowest work? Are you willing to do what Jesus did? Says, I'm going to wash your feet. And I'm leaving you an example that you should do that as well. As we're faithful with where God's placed us, he's going to lead us into the works that he has for us. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This is Paul writing to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Let's pick it up. Let's just read from verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Notice the pattern again. The grace of God has appeared. It brings salvation. We see the salvation through the coming of Christ. We kind of talked about this last week. We're in between the first coming and the second coming. Talks about that again, right? This grace, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for the blessed hope. We're looking forward to the coming of Christ. And then he reminds us what we've been saved from in verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. It echoes what he's been saying in Ephesians 2. Christ gave himself for us. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. We are his workmanship. He's wanting to purify for himself a people zealous for good works. And so Paul tells Titus, this is part of what God is calling his people to. Are you zealous for good works? Like when we have an opportunity, our brother comes up and he's sharing. Like, is your heart like, man, it's not if I'm going to give, it's like how much am I going to give? Like, I want to bless him in the name of Jesus. This should be the heart that we have because we're like, you know what? We're investing in the kingdom and what God's doing in him. You're laying up treasure in heaven when you do that. Or is the reaction kind of like, oh, I don't know, maybe nah, I got to buy Chris's presents or something. It's like, come on, man, like, invest in the kingdom of God. I want us to be a people who are zealous for good works, just like you would spend on yourself when you see an opportunity to bless someone, to do kingdom work, that our hearts would say, Lord, yes, it's a sacrifice, but it's more of an investment. It's not going to be affected by the stock market. Your treasure is secure in heaven. When there's opportunities to do good works, what's my heart's response? Oftentimes it's self-preservation. It's how much can I keep? How much can I save? And the Lord's saying, hey, what if we were to look at it and say, how much can I invest? How much can I bless? Let us be a people who are zealous for good works. Look at what he says in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. I love this. He says, okay, we're to be zealous for good works, but also we're called to be ready for every good work. And then in verses 8, chapter 3, verse 8 and 14, look at what he says there. Titus 3, verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. He's like, Titus, I want you to insist on this. Don't just recommend it. Insist on it. Those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. This is something that should be on our radar for the people of God. How can we be a people who are devoted, who are careful to maintain good works? And then in verse 14, he says, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent needs and not be unfruitful. Over and over again, Paul to Titus, he just keeps saying this. He says, okay, there is a relationship between the gospel and good works. It's going to flow from the gospel, right? Grace has saved you, and grace is going to help you to be generous. But I pray that this would be what would mark us as people. And it's something that we learn, right? Verse 14 says, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. And so we're growing in this. I want to encourage us to keep growing in meeting good works. And honestly, I'm not speaking this as like, you guys aren't doing any good works. It's like, I've seen you guys give, and I see you be generous, and I've seen you guys serve. It's really encouraging to see, because I have seen you walk in this. I'm just wanting to encourage us as the new year comes around that we wouldn't just be doing good works from a place of like, because we have to, but that we would align our hearts and say, Lord, I really want to walk in the good works that you have for me. I want to serve the Lord with gladness. Like, if you've lost your joy, I pray that as you have kind of like a little break, that you'd allow yourself to get filled up with God and say, Lord, I don't want to be serving you from a place of just trying to grind it out. I really want to be filled up with you. I really want to be zealous for good works. I want to be ready for every good work. I want to be devoted to good works. And so I'm going to close. I know we're going a little bit long, but and just have this on your radar as we end December, as we start praying about what does God have for us as a service. This is going to be important. So let me pray first.